Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
And this is The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. We are out for a walk right now, but we're not going to the movies. We're going to walk around for a bit and then go back to our house and then put on Netflix to watch David Fincher's new movie, The Killer, with Michael Fassbender. What do you know about this one, Kathy?
Not much. Just that I saw it was trending on Netflix and I'm interested to watch it because it's David Fincher.
Yeah, I didn't even know this was coming. I looked up what it is, and it is an adaptation of I don't know the exact year the graphic novel came out. It's a French graphic novel that apparently has been in the works with David Fincher attached since 2007.
Wow.
Yeah.
He really wanted to make this movie.
So, yeah, it's finally here. I don't know much about it, but I guess he's a killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can guess that too.
Right.
Are you a big David Fincher fan?
I don't think
we've reviewed any of his movies on this podcast.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what are we talking the... What's he done lately?
Zodiac Killer, right?
Zodiac. That was a long time ago. Oh, no. Oh, no, we're a movie podcast.
Yeah, this is
opening up IMDb slowly. Social Network. Frank, quick, say some David Fincher movies.
Right, so, yeah.
Fight Club.
We haven't reviewed any on this podcast. That's all I was saying.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. It's been a while. Probably because he spent 20 years trying to make this movie.
Seven. Gone Girl.
Oh, Gone Girl.
That was before our podcast. What's he been doing? Here we go. You Love, Death and Robots. I watched some of that on Netflix. He was doing House of Cards. He's been doing a lot of TV.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
House of Cards, when it was good, was very,
Mank.
Very good.
Mank, didn't watch that. No. Oh, Mindhunter, that was great.
Of course, yeah. Love Mindhunter.
Doing a lot of TV stuff.
Okay, right.
I would say it seems like he hasn't had a really big film. I think Mank did get some attention. We didn't watch that. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, 2011.
Okay, now we're
Social
just reading
Network.
IMDb.
So yeah, that's what you get here at the cinema. You get in-depth movie knowledge.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to
fingertips.
He's a director I enjoy, and I'm glad you reminded me about Mindhunter. So obviously he must have a partnership
killers.
With Netflix. We absolutely love Mindhunter. It's a fantastic TV show. For anyone who hasn't seen it, go back and watch it. It's two brilliant seasons
of
TV. Right, let's go watch The Killer.
We'll see you in a minute.
I find music a useful distraction. A focus tool. Keeps the inner voice from wandering. This is what it takes. My process is purely logistical. If I'm effective, it's because of one simple fact. I don't give a fuck.
Hi, we're back. We're back outside for a nice windy walk, and we have seen David Fincher's The Killer. If it's your first time here at the cinema, we won't spoil the movie yet, but so we'll give you our general thoughts, and then we'll give you full spoilers when we turn onto Spoiler Street, which is very near our house. Kathy, what do you think of The Killer with Michael Fassbender?
Firstly, we have to fully disclose that this film is in sections, and we watched it over like 4 nights.
How dare you give away the secrets to how we watch things on Netflix?
We watched it
basically a chapter at a time.
Yeah, it feels like...
Just like David Fincher intended.
Well, I mean, it's on Netflix and they've separated it into chapters, so they surely anticipated that would happen. I actually enjoyed watching it.
In four parts,
yeah. I enjoyed the experience. I don't know that it felt particularly cinematic or that it mattered that I was watching it on a small screen at all. I really don't think it mattered.
I disagree with that. Go on.
And then overall, I was very disappointed by it, particularly because we talked about Mindhunter right before we watched it, and Mindhunter is an absolute cracker of a show. And I felt like, in large parts, while I enjoyed watching this film, I don't know that it was compelling that I'd have wanted to sit through the whole thing in one go. And I found,
you didn't.
Well, yeah, I didn't. But like, if I was in the cinema, I think I might have been bored by it. I feel like the film maybe thinks it's... Like, I'm really surprised to hear he spent that long trying to make it, because, like, fundamentally, I found it quite disinteresting. And is that a word or uninteresting? And I think Michael Fassbender is a very good actor. I don't know that I found him particularly compelling here. There's a lot of voiceover stuff that I found very tiresome.
I agree with that.
And like, we're comparing it to Dexter then, you know, like there's too many things to compare it to, like, that are better than it. So ultimately I think it's a perfectly fine thing to throw on when you're at home and watch over a few nights, but by no means is this going down in history as like anything like I wouldn't think on David Fincher's record of like being a director.
Wow. Okay. I don't hate on it as much as
I'm not hating on it.
It kind of sounds like you
it's
are.
It's kind of just fine.
It's not. It did not do it for you at all.
But I enjoyed it enough. Like, I wanted to go back and finish it.
I feel like when we were watching it, you were into it though.
No, I was into watching it. That's what I'm saying. I just don't think it's anything to write home about.
Okay. Fair enough. I love that phrase. That phrase needs to get updated.
Well, it's
who writes home?
Then we say, it's not anything to like walk around and record a podcast about. And here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Maybe we should release this podcast in four parts. So, I'm a bit hotter on it than you are. I liked it. I thought it was good. I do see what you mean. I mean, I share your problems with the voiceover. I think voiceover is
really
a very tricky
right.
thing to get right. Yeah, exactly. And it can come across as kind of either, you know, a shortcut to narrative exposition, a lazy shortcut to narrative exposition, which, to be fair, is not the case here. I don't think that's the purpose of it.
No.
I think the purpose of it here is to give you an insight into his mind, but it's just very... it's just like Michael Fassbender is a good actor, he's good in this, but anytime he opens his...
his
mind.
Monologue.
I was cringing
because
whatever about the writing of it is just lame. He's got this mantra he keeps repeating, and also the it's just real try hard sort of stuff. Like, did you know that there are 36,000 employees in every McDonald's in the state? And I'm just like, God help us. And also, his delivery wasn't great in the voice booth. I don't think.
And I think for anyone who doesn't know what the film's about, he's an assassin. He's a gun for hire, right?
It's a gun for hire on the run. I would describe this movie as you said it there a minute ago. What did you describe it as?
Nothing to write home about.
No, you described it in the terms of something else. Anyway, it's a bit like John Wick. Or the equal. There's a bit where it's a bit like The Equalizer at one point.
And like, they're all movies we like.
Or Dexter, sorry. Yeah, it's Dexter meets John Wick.
But it isn't Dexter, you see. And this is where I think it's crucial to note where two examples I think of a really strong inner monologue are Dexter and You, which is also an Netflix TV series. How they use voiceover, a kind of constant voiceover, is the character on screen when they're talking to other people is talking about something, and then the voiceover comes in with their real thoughts, which are completely contradictory to how they're speaking.
Yeah.
So it gives you genuine insight into, oh, this character is actually very different than they're presenting themselves. Whereas Michael Fassbender was essentially narrating the visuals of what we were already seeing. And there was a whole beginning of the movie that was brilliant for like 10 minutes, right? It's a brilliant 10-minute scene. But I said to Dave, I actually think the scene should have been entirely silent.
Silent, yeah.
If he'd never opened his mouth, we'd have understood what was happening, but we'd have been so intrigued. Whereas he was just there telling us every single thing that we were watching him do.
Yeah.
And that's where I think voiceovers don't work. And I think they were obviously trying to take dialogue from the comics or whatever. But I just have a feeling that I wonder if there's a version of this film sitting somewhere that's better, where he doesn't do the voiceover.
Well,
then if they didn't have the confidence to release it, because it, like you say, the performance wasn't great. It felt like something they'd made afterwards in a sound booth.
No, I disagree. I think that this is the intended version. I would imagine that if it's an adaptation of a graphic novel, then you've probably got that, you know, square box you have in a graphic novel, which indicates that you're inside their head.
Yeah.
And that, I think, would probably work very well in
of
that
course.
Medium.
Well, you'd need it because you wouldn't get the whole visuals like we're getting.
So
here.
I think the adaptation is like, no, there's some great dialogue, there's some great stuff in there, we've got to stay true to that. That's my vibe. I think this is the intended product. However, I fully agree with you. I would much prefer the version, and this would be relatively easy to do, actually. Someone could edit this themselves.
Just cross
cut that voiceover out. Yeah. And it would be so much more, because anytime we were watching Michael Fassbender's character go around the sort of minutiae and the preparation of a hit.
So interesting.
It was very interesting. Yeah. And a lot of the time he's not talking throughout that, and it's just like, we get it, and I'm intrigued as to what you're doing. And I gotta say, that's what I liked about this film the most, was the details of watching a killer do their do their work and how much waiting around there is, how much preparation there is. We'll talk about it a bit more in spoilers, but that stuff, like, it's almost like a police procedural. You know, the best sort of police procedurals for me are the ones that are about, like, the paperwork and you've got to get this thing right. The ones that are obsessed with detail. This movie feels like it's really interested in detail. And then, so that's got, I think it's got going in its favor. I think Michael Fassbender does a really good physical performance.
Yeah, very good.
I thought some of the fight scenes in this were just incredible.
Fight scenes are brilliant,
yeah. There's one really good one in the middle. And I also thought that David Fincher, who clearly, it turns out, we haven't seen a movie from him in a while. We haven't, anyway. It's like, man, he can make interesting looking movies.
Yeah.
I was like, really just like, it's so just confident and steady. He's got that real like dirty sort of look and realistic sort of look. I also liked the other thing I liked about this movie is it did have a sense of realism in the way that a lot of movies have plots that require contrivance and they require characters to run into each other at a certain point or for plots to connect. This very much felt like a person moving through our world, in that he goes places and turns out that someone has been there 2 days ago. You know, you know, and then he's on their trail. Then he's just missed them. You know,
I like that. I like the journey of it. And I think David Fincher, obviously, it's like a weird niche to have, but boy, does he like getting inside the mind of a killer. And so he certainly did that, albeit I'd say we got too much into his mind where we didn't need to hear his every bloody thought. But let's go to spoilers on this one.
Would you recommend it then?
Oh, yeah, I honestly recommend it as something to throw on Netflix and watch over a few nights.
I would recommend it. I think it's a good watch.
That's not me negging on it. That is genuinely, I like having something that I can watch in chunks. Because they're signposted, because there's chapters, so there's a natural
pause. There is a nice way. That's true.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it. Like, I was like one of the nights, I was the one saying, oh, let's throw it on and watch a few more chapters. So, yeah, I definitely found it enjoyable. I certainly don't think it's anyone's best work, and I think, like, it will be forgotten very quickly.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, well, that's it. We'll take a quick break for an ad here, and then we're going to come back for spoilers. Right, okay, so we are going to do full spoilers now for The Killers. So you have been
the killer
warned. The Killer, sorry, yes, yes.
It's not the band, The Killers.
No, although speaking of bands, I was quite optimistic at the beginning of this movie when he put earphones in. And then he says, I always, you know, kill people to a soundtrack.
But then again, like, he's like, I like to listen to a soundtrack while I kill people. It's like, you know the nature of you putting in the headphones and listening to the soundtrack? Like, we get it?
We get it.
That's just one example of every single thing he explained
also,
that he was doing.
Can I just speak about one little David Fincher thing I liked? Because he always does interesting things with, you know, he's kind of famous for doing interesting things with the camera, you know, having it go in and out of keyholes or into people's brains or whatever. There's not a whole lot of that here, which I kind of actually admired the restraint. But he does an interesting thing with audio there in that scene, in that brilliant scene you referenced, that first 10 minutes in that WeWork.
I love that
he's in a WeWork. But when he pops in the headphones, anytime the camera is outside looking at Fassbender, we don't hear the music. Then anytime you're in his POV looking through the sniper rifle into the room across it, you hear the sound in full.
I missed that. That's
yeah,
really clever.
That was lovely.
And what was it? It was Morrissey the whole time.
It was
time.
Morrissey. And this is my disappointment that I was referring to. I was like, oh, great. We're going to have such an interesting soundtrack. He's going to be listening to music all the time. He's got his little playlist all lined up. Music to kill people to.
He should have been listening to The Killers by all
And
rights.
I was just like, it's just like, it's all fucking Morrissey. And I look, each to their own. And a lot of people
like
love
Morrissey,
the Smiths. I
but
don't.
It was just like,
and I was like,
the whole film of it.
Can't
like.
Listen to any more Morrissey.
But I think it sums up his character, which is that he has no
He's
personality.
Boring.
And again, nothing wrong with Morrissey, but that he makes a whole song and dance about a playlist and then it's just one artist.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the most boring characters.
He's very uninteresting.
I've ever watched in a film. And, like, he's essentially the only character in this film. So, like, you're spending a lot of time with him. And that's where I think the You and Dexter counter examples are interesting, because you spend a lot of time with them, but they're interesting because they're presenting themselves to the world like 180 degrees different than how they are. Whereas he presents himself exactly as he is.
No,
he
that's not. No,
he didn't even smile at like air.
That's not
stewards.
True, Kathy. He presents as a German tourist,
like
eating McDonald's.
Starts, when he starts monologuing about McDonald's, I'm like, are you kidding me?
I actually liked his German tourist outfit, and straight away, as soon as he said it, I saw a German tourist once and dressed as him. I was like, whoa, he really does look like a German tourist. It would be a great Halloween costume.
It would be, yeah, except no one will know it. There's nothing.
No, because
you
blend right in. No one would notice you're at the party.
Yeah.
And then you could just monologue to yourself in the corner.
In terms of spoilers, like, there's not really much to reference. Like, he's doing a hit, goes wrong, he legs it home to where he lives in this amazing place, his girlfriend's been wounded, then he goes on a revenge mission.
Then it's the John Wick moment.
But, like, I feel like the movie never lived up to its opening scene. Like, I think the opening scene was incredibly good. The stuff with him going back to the girlfriend was like, we barely even saw her, we'd no sense of their connection, and then he immediately leaves again and he was on a revenge mission, and I was kind of like, but why?
Yeah, we weren't as invested in his revenge. Like,
why
like,
I mean, a revenge mission? Because I kind of got it by the end, it was actually in fact that he was trying to guarantee the safety of him and his girlfriend for the future. But I just thought it was coming across as this petty thing, and it's like, well mate, you're a hitman, like, you fucked up. They've
pretty
every
harsh,
right to
by
send.
The way. Pretty
They've
harsh, every... by the way. You. If you don't pass the mission, you're dead.
But
I mean,
enough,
I didn't realize those were the stakes.
He's going around killing people, so like, he's no moral high ground. He killed an innocent woman. Do you know what I mean? Like, he'd no moral high ground. We didn't get to know the girlfriend enough.
But Kathy, that's because empathy is a weakness. What was that mantra? It was so annoying.
I like the one he kept issuing his mantra, and then someone just like punched him in the face.
Oh,
or something.
This is another thing I really liked about the movie was the surprises that would happen. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like that one, that brilliant fight scene in the middle with the brute,
which was
fantastic.
Love every bit of him going into the brute's house.
Oh, so good, really good energy.
But, like,
in that.
There's a scene where he puts like he's getting into the brute's house, and he puts like, I don't know, some sort of sedative into like a piece of meat to give a dog. Grand, we get that, like, we've seen that in a million movies. Throw something into the dog. He's like, this dog weighs approximately 140 pounds and I'm putting 2 grams of sedative and the dog should stay asleep. We're like, we know. We can see what's happening. And like, they should have cut 80% of the monologue.
I know.
Bizarre.
It was adding nothing.
It was
detracting.
Actually making me think that like, this audience, this film thinks the audience is really dumb, and I think that's why I was
bristling. No, I don't think that either. I just think this is a reverence to the text. I might be wrong now. I don't think this film treats its audience as dumb at all. I really don't. I think the voiceover is just an unfortunate byproduct of a graphic novel adaptation which had probably extensive voiceover.
It's just weird to me that he was like, I don't really understand why he wanted to make this movie. Like, as much as we enjoyed watching it, and we did, like, it was a good watch, there's no point to it. Like,
yeah.
At the end of the movie, we were like, huh?
It ends on a bit of a...
just nothing.
Huh, okay.
Okay, great.
I guess it's kind of interesting that he doesn't kill that guy.
He said, like, I can't just kill a really high-profile businessman.
Yeah, yeah.
Businessman. And I love the stuff of him, like, getting the key code into his gym. Like, I love all the stuff where he was being really ingenious about getting access.
And
when
he was
he's
very
in his
patient.
Apartment, and the guy even doesn't even know why he's there.
But what?
Which I thought was good.
Yeah, because it was just, and then he kind of half remembered. Like, that was interesting as well.
Really,
like, to Michael Fassbender, this was a life-changing event. To that businessman, it was just like a Tuesday afternoon.
He goes, oh yeah, he said something about cleaning up aisle 3. Sure, but it made me laugh that the lawyer who had hired—he's
the one who
Michael
suggested
Fassbender.
It. Yeah.
So imagine you go to a lawyer because you want to arrange a hit. The hitman not only misses but kills an innocent victim. And then you're asked to pay an extra 100 grand to kill the hitman.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of a business model is this? I didn't get what
Should
I wanted.
Yeah.
And now I should give you more money to kill someone. So that was, I love all the stuff, even going back a bit when he went to the lawyer's office. I think when I think about it, all the elements are so good. Like, it just didn't all hang together to anything interesting.
I also really liked all the detective work. Right, I like how he had was... they had there were two people. They arrived in at a cab with a funny color, with a green color. That's all he had. Then he literally just drives around wherever
I
he was.
I didn't like it that he killed that cab driver though.
But it was in character. I didn't like it either.
I liked when he said that when that woman said to him, the secretary. And again, you can't really feel guilty for her. You can't feel bad for her being murdered because she didn't knowingly work as like a hit chief's.
Yeah. She accepted that. She accepted
her
fate.
But she just said, I thought it was really interesting when she said, don't make my body disappear. My kids need the life insurance. And then he actually was like, no empathy. And then he did it. So I thought that was kind of a good character moment for him, and also an interesting point from her. So I thought that was all. Just at the very, and there's a whole team with scene with Tilda Swinton.
I liked that. It's a little try hard.
I felt a bit beneath her, though. Now I know she's been in recent Marvel movies, so who's to say what's beneath her? But she.
If you're going to criticize actors for being in Marvel movies, that's half of Hollywood.
Criticize everyone, but I liked the scene, but it didn't go deep enough. It felt like a moment whereby we could have really gotten beneath the surface. We didn't. And then it was just kind of over. So I kind of feel like she only showed up to do it because it was David Fincher. Like, I doubt she was sitting there going, what a wonderful...
No, I don't agree. I don't agree with that either. I think that scene gave us the most insight into his character that we've gotten, because we weren't getting anything inside his own head. So suddenly it was like...
We're getting nothing but insight about him, and it's mundane.
She was implying that he missed on purpose.
To make himself feel something.
To make himself feel something, or just to make it end.
I didn't buy that, though. That didn't seem... I don't think he missed on purpose.
But it's interesting. It's kind of interesting. We're talking about it.
But then at the very end, it's just like, okay, him and his girlfriend now live in this lovely place.
Yeah, it just felt anticlimactic and a little insubstantial.
And
I agree.
I feel for the girlfriend. Like, I don't want any woman to be, like, violently abused because of who her partner is. So I felt for the girlfriend. But for me, the happy ending isn't her with him. The happy ending is her being gone and him having some, like, responsibility for what he did to her. So I felt like the ending was very unpleasant, actually. And there was no wider point. Like, I think at the very end I was like, this is fine, but like, why is David Fincher making it?
Yeah, I know
what you mean. Like,
it all feels a bit insubstantial.
Especially now, I can't help comparing to Mindhunter. They're on completely different planets.
Well, that has some real good character work.
Yeah, really.
As well
characters.
As kind of just having the David Fincher look. Now, yeah. I think he only directed the first few, but you know, the template he puts down gets carried through.
Uh-huh.
And it's got his whole vibe, and it's got some fantastic performances in it.
Like, this is veering into like a TV movie territory, and I mean, it effectively is a TV movie. They made it for Netflix.
Well, I think this, that term doesn't really make sense anymore.
yeah, I know.
I think this is elevated by David Fincher, but I agree. I think it's largely throwaway kind of.
And I
stuff.
Feel like,
but
Michael Fassbender, like, we both think he's a really good actor. I think he does better on like a British accent, maybe.
Yeah.
I think he could have done without.
I don't like his American accent.
It was distracting because I was thinking, would an American person think this is a really American accent? Because I sure don't. But maybe that's because I know he's Irish.
Well, I don't think he doesn't pick an American accent. It's a nondescript mid-Atlantic sort. I don't know what you even describe this, whatever, like, just boring non-specific American accent that people pick, that actors pick.
And I think if he'd had, because it was an international film, and I enjoy that it was hopping all over the place, he could have had maybe an accent with more that he gave more gravitas to, purely, and normally I wouldn't say it matters, but it's because he spoke 98% of the dialogue in the film. It actually kind of really mattered that his voiceover had a bit of gravitas, and he didn't have any.
Also, just another case where if you'd let him have his normal voice, it probably would have been better, and wouldn't have affected the film. I don't know what else to say about it. I actually think, firstly, the main thing I got out of this is I'm glad David Fincher made a movie and I got to watch it.
And
I'm surprised that I haven't seen a David Fincher film in 10 years.
Yeah, because when we're saying we haven't done one on this podcast, why that's striking to us is this podcast is nearly 8 years old.
Yeah.
So if we haven't covered it, and we like David Fincher. So, but I do think we talked about Mindhunter over on our Patreon at the time.
Yeah, it seems that he's been producing a lot of stuff, he's been doing a lot of TV, he's been busy.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen a David Fincher film in quite a while. And look, I'm glad he made this, and I'm glad I got to see it. It was, it has some really good stuff in it, and look, and it was an easy watch, because you do it in four parts. Which I honestly don't, I think we could have got through this in one sitting, you just didn't fancy it.
Which is
fine.
I liked how we watched it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let us know what you think of it, if you watched this, did you enjoy it? And come over to chat to us on Instagram at The Cinemile, we're cinemile@gmail.com, we're over on Letterboxd, where we review movies, and where we spend most of our time is actually on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/thecinemile, where we do monthly retro movie reviews. We do a ton of TV reviews, so we just talked about loads of stuff, including Loki, latest season, and we're doing weekly reviews of For All Mankind, Got loads of stuff going on over there.
Loads of stuff going on. It's at patreon.com/thecinemile. You can sign up for a free trial and just see if you like it or not. And
then just
listen to a lot of stuff and head off. Mm-hmm. There's also just a great community out there. I'd love to just shout out all of our patrons. There's always great bands. There's basically a group WhatsApp.
Yeah.
It's not actually WhatsApp, but Patreon has a group chat feature where we all just chat and we gloat about all the films we're seeing at the Cork International Film Festival. So yeah, please do check that out, or just, you know, contact us, email us, or do you know what's also nice? Leave us a nice review. Yeah. Give us a 5-star review if you write some words with it. We might even read it out. Mm-hmm. So thanks for listening. Bye.